T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
For goodness sake, Kith, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Dr. Biden, you are an educator. Do you think it's time for kids to go back to...
Absolutely.
To schools, like,
absolutely. I'm a teacher. I'm teaching now. And no one wants to be in the classroom more than the teachers do, and then their parents, and then the children. So we've got to get them back, but we have to get them back safely.
Of course you have to get them back safely. But why is it that so many children are back in school safely right now? And, you know, you want to talk about economic differentiation between kids and education. What they are doing right now in public education is the biggest separation of people who can afford an alternative, or there are a lot of people who would have loved to find a way to afford an alternative to public school to have their kids in the classroom 24 hours a day. Well, you know, some parents might. I don't know. I can't judge you. But to have your kids in school full time. It's just that people fled the public schools to a lot of these private parochial schools so quickly to accommodate that lifestyle because they want their children to be in the classroom that many of these schools filled up. I'd love to hear from you, your thoughts and opinions on this issue, because it's something I've talked a lot about on the show, but I haven't necessarily taken a lot of phone calls. Your thoughts on kids in schools, if you're a teacher. I know that right now there's a lot of public school teachers off, specifically in the state of Illinois. Katie, do you know what High Holy Day it is in the state of Illinois?
No.
Cashmere Pulaski Day.
Okay.
Doesn't that sound like a fashion print? Like, oh, this is my Pulaski, my Cashmere Pulaski.
It does.
And it's very fine, a fine version of my Cashmere Pulaski. It's Cashmere Pulaski Day. He was an explorer. I don't know a whole lot about him because I went to parochial Lutheran school most of my life, and we didn't get the day off, but public school gets it off. So if you're listening right now and you have a thought on this, especially if you're a public school teacher who has a thought on this, you can give us a fake name if you want. Just make sure you're speaking from an actual perspective of whatever you tell us you're calling in on. And let us know, you know, what are the complications behind getting these public school kids back in school? What are the complications? What are the things that when you hear people talking about these issues, what are we not considering? Because much like when we're discussing COVID with Dr. Scott Hardiman from 12:25 through the rest of the noon hour like we did today, great conversation. You can check out on the podcast. Much like we have him on the show to talk about this thing that is affecting all of our lives in a way that gets – the information gets to us in a completely politically jumbled way, that it's very hard for us to look at, you know, story after story after story and pull out the grains of truth and news and facts and information and then come to our own conclusion on it. Because everybody wants to come to the conclusion for you so you don't have to think. We don't worry about giving people the information so that they can come to their own conclusions. In news media today, what we do is come to the conclusion for you and then make sure that we spoon feed it to you in a way that gets you to agree with us before you've even had all of the information provided to you. And it's incredibly frustrating when we're looking into the future of how these children are going to be impacted by a year and a half almost off of school, of being in school. My goodness, the trauma that these kids are dealing with internally, they're not built to deal with this. As parents, we're not built to understand what they're going through because we've never gone through anything like this. I retweeted, I don't know if you pulled this sound on Friday, but I retweeted this video of this mom sits down with her daughter mm-hmm. in California. Do we have that sound for
yep,
Friday?
I'll go ahead and go find it.
Okay, you can do that. Thanks. She sits down with her daughter, and you've seen these videos that people do on social media. They write things out on a piece of paper, and they hold each piece of paper up to the camera, and they go through a story. And it's this mom sitting down with her daughter, and the dad, I assume it's the father, is the one who's videoing this exchange. And I gotta tell you, as somebody who's been following this story or following this situation as part of going through what we've seen with COVID and having kids myself, and at the end of last school year having my kids at home, and when summer came and it was like everybody could just take this big deep exhale because there was so much pressure for my husband to be teaching from home, my kids to be learning from home, me to be working from home. It was so heavy and so much. Katie, why don't you go ahead and play that for us?
358 days. Long time, right? A lot has happened since March 2020. School got canceled on the 3rd of the 13th of 2020. But we have some news. Guess what? What? Guess what? We're getting a dog? 3/3/2021.
What is 3/3/2021?
This year, on the 3rd of March.
Guess what?
What?
Harder for me to listen to than it was for me to watch. When you see her immediate reaction to the fact that she's going to get to go back to school, she said her first thing is, I haven't gone to school in such a long time. This is breaking our children. And, you know, I'll have to say, I've in the last, 5 years of my life, my husband and I and our family have gone through some times that have been incredibly challenging to our family, where we've experienced loss of social circles that we were in a way that was profoundly unjust. And your kids, they soak up all of this stuff around you. They are not stupid. They see it through their eyes, their own eyes. They take in the information that you think you're speaking about quietly behind closed doors, but they hear things. They hear you when you're talking in the car. They see this stuff. They see the news reports on schools being closed. They see that there's a fight over whether or not it's safe to be in schools. They hear all this stuff. They hear your frustration because you're trying to hold business meetings so that you can put food on the table, and your frustration spoils over into their need to have the computer at that moment in time so that they can have a class. Everybody is being pulled at the seams right now. And our children are at the center of this. They see this, they have the hurt, but kids are so good at being strong when you, as an adult, if you're in a situation where you feel weak inside and you're putting on your strongest face on the outside, your kids will try to emulate that strength back to you. But inside, they are feeling weak and they are feeling scared and they are worried. And in that moment, when you're listening to that mother tell her daughter you're going back to school, it just all comes down. It all comes out. And it's heartbreaking to hear this. I can't imagine going through a year of my life stuck at home, only digital communications with my friends. When you do maybe decide to loosen the reins in your own home, you might have friends over, you might go play at a park or do something like that, depending on how comfortable you feel with the situation, but you still feel like you're doing something wrong. They've educated us, they've trained us publicly in a way that says you need to have that permission in order to live a normal life. And so we've been doing this long enough. Katie, you said that we've been having Dr. Hardiman on since April 3rd, weekly, save a few circumstances where it didn't work out. So we're March 15th or March 18th or something is the first 15 days to slow the spread. We're about a year into this. That's a long time. That is enough time to make people's habits and mentality change in a way that will have to be changed back. It will require an investment in our time, in our messaging, in the way that we go about our business to change it back. And I just think about that Mississippi River separating Missouri and Illinois, how different, Katie, your experience has been than potentially Ryan and my experience. I mean, we have just been able to go back into restaurants like 3 weeks ago to sit down and eat.
I said that like a couple of months ago too. I'm like, I keep forgetting that you guys were on this tier system for the longest time and nothing was open for you guys for months. You guys couldn't do anything outside of your home for months. Meanwhile, Missouri, I mean, St. Louis County is different, but Missouri, there are plenty of places open that have been open that say, you know, you do need to wear a mask. We are social distancing, but come on. We need the business. We know that you guys want to get out of the house. St. Charles Main Street. I mean, it just blows my mind that you guys are finally out of that tier and can actually go and live your life.
I had friends over this weekend and they have had COVID, and they're best friends, and they came over and they wore masks the whole time. But I'm very much so of the mind that if this is how you feel comfortable over here, this is a good step. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we just need to start pushing on this to be responsible, to look at the numbers that are out there, to look at the vaccines that are being taken, and understand that the way we're used to living life now can't be the norm. It can't be something that we get to be perpetually used to. And also, for folks in Illinois who are listening, a stark reminder, our normal is not the normal right on the other side of the river. Our normal in the state of Illinois is completely black and white compared to what's going on in Florida right now. If you go to Florida right now, it's normal. Like, they are living their lives
crazy,
as if we've gone past this thing, and people are getting their vaccinations. As we heard from Ron DeSantis earlier, you know, he didn't go by the initial CDC guidelines. He vaccinated the elderly first. Whereas in his words, you know, if you'd have gone by those initial CDC guidelines, you'd have a 20-year-old grocery store worker getting a vaccine before somebody who's elderly. Just look at the numbers. Why? It just doesn't make sense. The politics seeps into all of this, and it poisons everything. And anytime there are politics involved, somebody is tugging on a rope trying to get you to come to their side. When our kids are at stake, perfect example, like when I talk about this, I'm semi-hesitant to talk about it, which is probably wrong, because my kids have been in school this whole time because I put them in a Lutheran school. I did not put them in a parochial school so that they could be in school all the time. That's something that is important to me. And as I've said before, for us and for our house, I want my kids to be talking about Jesus the first thing in the morning. That's just very important to me. And I understand that's not everybody's cup of tea, but that's always been important to me. But why do my kids get to go be in class? They're working their tails off to make it as safe as they possibly can for everybody involved, especially including the teachers and the staff. But my kids are no more special than any other kid out there who deserves to have the opportunity to be in a classroom. And to put a bow on this, man, this story about this Berkeley Teachers Union president, he has been advocating for this Berkeley school district to continue to stay closed. He's advocating for these school closures. Matt Meyer, president of the Berkeley Federation of Teachers, has fought for what he called the, quote, gold standard for the teachers he represents, saying Berkeley schools should only reopen to in-person learning when educators are vaccinated, among other criteria. Homeboy was video taking his kid to an in-person school this past week. His kid gets to go to school, but he gets to keep your kid out of school. Why is this not causing us to be out in the streets screaming and yelling for our kids? Why the hesitancy? Why do the teachers' unions have this much power? I'd love to hear from you. 314-241-9797. We'll take phone calls on this when we come back. If you have a personal experience about your children, your grandchildren being in school, I know so many grandparents who have had to step back into the fray to help educate or to help babysit so that families can just make do. Tell me your story. 314-241-9797. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for spending some of your Monday afternoon with us. It's still gorgeous out there. So make sure you get some of that vitamin D sunshine in your veins sometime today, even if it just means going out and standing outside for 15 minutes. It's very good for your health. We've been talking about getting kids back in school. And, you know, as I've said many times before, I am a huge supporter of Lutheran education, parochial education, alternate education to public school. But I do value an educated public. My husband is a public school teacher, and I know the work and the stories that I've heard from him and so many of his colleagues. This is so important, and this has got to be about the kids. It's got to be about the kids. How are we not having our kids back in the classroom right now? I got a message on our Facebook page. Oops. If you haven't followed the Annie Fry Show Facebook page, now's a great time to do that. Why don't you join us there? And it was from a Joshua, and he said, the 2 o'clock segment today, which is what we just did, you hit the nail on the head. I've been thinking about this for some time. The ramifications of this last year won't be known on the psychology of my children for at least 10 years. And that soundbite from Twitter had me in tears. Love the show. Thanks. Thank you, Joshua, for messaging us. And it is so true that these types of things, because you know how when you're about to face, when you're in the midst of something, when you're facing something really tough, you tighten your muscles. When you are in the car and someone almost T-bones you, but they don't. Everything is fine. It's as if you made it home completely safe and nothing happened, but there was this moment in time where you kind of saw your life flash before your eyes. You don't realize until you are 45 seconds after the fact that your life almost ended, but everything turned out fine, how much your body actually absorbed the stress of that moment in time. You start to relax and you realize, oh my gosh, my body just reacted in a really physical, obvious way to this thing, this trauma that almost just happened to me. You really brace yourself. It's what our kids are doing right now. It's what you're doing right now. It's what we're all doing right now. But how are these school children equipped to handle this situation? They're not. And we don't know what that 45 seconds later, that translation to this scenario, what is that going to look like for these kids? And how do we make sure we're there to support them? How do we get them back in the school right now? Let's take some phone calls. 314-241-9797 if you want to join us. I would love to hear of your experiences of waiting for your kids to get back in school, or if your kids have been in school the whole time, or how this has affected your family. Give us a call and share your story. Let's start with Mindy. Thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show, Mindy. Glad to have you here.
Hi, Annie. How are you?
Doing okay. Hope you're doing well as well.
I am. I'm a little nervous here. I listen to your show every day, Annie, and you're such an advocate for schools. I appreciate that. I don't know where to start. My kids have not been back in school. I have three teenage daughters, okay? We started with all, the only thing we're at now is hybrid, okay, where we're 2 days online or virtual, you know. Hybrid is the 2 days online, the 3 days at home, or the kids have a choice of hybrid and virtual, okay? My kids, they want to try the virtual first semester, okay, did not work out. They were, especially my middle schooler, seventh grade, that's a really tough time for kids as it is, you know. And
first year of my life, for sure.
Mine too. And so I have two older daughters. And yes, middle school is tough as it is. And then what these kids are going through right now, it's not fair. It is not fair. And I don't know where to go. You know, I've tried to make my phone calls. I don't reach out to local legislatures. But, you know, our school district, we were told that we're going to go back to 4 days a week on March 4th. Well, now it's being pushed back to March 22nd. Okay. But every other, and we're a pretty good sized school district out in Jefferson County. Every one of the school districts around us are back 4 days a week. okay, I've called the superintendent. We get the excuse, you know, well, he wants to see how the other school districts are doing with the coronavirus, and which studies have found kids, you know, it doesn't affect the children as bad as it does other people.
Yeah.
And then when they're in the classroom, they went back 2 days a week. Okay, so I have two of my high schoolers going 2 days and the middle schoolers going the opposite 2 days. And it is so stressful for my kids. And then when they don't log on to their hybrid on their day off of school, they're counted as absent and I get a phone call. And I have told them, you know what? Being at home is for being at home with the family. School is for at school teaching my kids. If you want to put my kids back in full day education, then they will learn full day education, but they're not learning anything sitting at home behind a computer.
Yeah.
And it's affecting.
Go ahead, Mindy.
And I don't get no answers. And that's where the frustration is, you know.
The message from the administration there is they just want to see how other schools fare. That's
right.
Why they're saying no.
Yep.
And are other parents contacting the school board and the administration to say, get us back in the classroom?
From what he says, yes. He says parents are outraged. We've been getting a lot of calls from parents, but obviously it's not getting nowhere. You know, Annie, it's not. And, you know, everything's political to this point. Everything. I don't care if it's a restaurant, the school system, when you shop. I've learned, and I haven't been in politics. This is my first year ever in politics. I wish I wouldn't have. But I'm worried about my kids' future in this country. And that's what got me involved. And the education that they are learning at home with my seventh grader, she had to do a essay on gender equality, okay? And she was learning on one side of spelling in the ELA was numbers in American. The other side, she had to match the Chinese numbers with the numeric American numbers. Okay, that's on the whole education system, and I've seen it the past 10 years really go downhill with the Common Core math. It's like they're setting our kids up to fail.
Thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. I hear your passion in your voice, and
I'm so frustrated.
That there are a lot of other people out there right now listening who are right there with you, Mindy. You're not alone.
Thank you, Annie, and I'm trying to get into my local legislatures, and you know, I guess the best thing is go door by door and get parents more volunteered to go out to the school and do something about it.
Thank you for the call, Mindy. I appreciate it very much, and I hope the best for your children. I mean, it is affecting all of these families in such profound ways. It isn't just the kids, but obviously we are responsible for advocating for our kids. We are responsible for being their voice, especially when they don't have one. And it just doesn't make any sense to me that we have gone so far into the realm of we cannot go back to the way we were until we've eliminated any risk. When have we ever lived in this country without the risk of consequences that are unfavorable? That's always been the case. There's always been instances, like I can think of sending my kids to daycare and sending my kids to school, like hand, foot, and mouth. It's something that as a parent, the first time you realize that your child can get something that you thought that only cows could get, that's hoof and mouth disease, but you don't realize in the moment that it's different. You think that the sky is falling. One kid gets hand, foot, and mouth. By the time you know they have it, because the kid gets a fever, they've actually been contagious for like 2 to 4 days or something like that.
Oh my goodness.
So you're screwed. And the whole class is out for a few days when they're little. It's just how it goes. It sucks. It's a risk you take. But the only way to ensure that my child never comes into contact with something like that is for me to give up my job or for my husband to give up my job and to sit at home with them and never let them go anywhere or do anything.
Mm-hmm.
We played in the McDonald's ball pit when we were growing up. Oh, my gosh.
We can face anything.
Mm-hmm.
I probably had the COVID vaccine when I was 6 at the Edwardsville McDonald's from the bottom of the ball pit when I fell in there and like was licking the ball that was coming up when you fell down the slide and some kid threw it at your face. I mean, we live in a society that involves risk. We live in a culture that involves risk. That is going to be the case. When they go back, people are going to be at risk. But this is not the only crisis that we're facing right now. There's a drastic, I mean, we're talking about a dramatic increase in child suicide. What is worse than that? And how can we only look at this? You know, I remember talking about Dr. Fauci maybe in the first couple months and the way he would approach things, and he'd kind of have the zero-sum game that he would put out there about his recommendations about what we need to do. And this is when the economy was for the first 15 days, maybe to slow the spread, we were all like, hands in the middle, let's do this, let's beat this thing. 15 turns into 30, and then everyone starts looking around like, I don't know how we sustain our independent way of living if this is the way that we're going to go about this. How, you start raising your eyebrows and question, then you start going, I can't do this. Businesses start wondering if they're going to have to shut down. Fauci would come on the scene and he would always address the public health crisis that we're facing. And I would say, in defense of Fauci at the time specifically, remember, he is there to be our public health advocate. But you have to take him in the same context as maybe a Larry Kudlow or somebody who is an economic expert and understand that the economic crisis that we are building, that's going to occur 2 to 3 innings later in this thing, is going to be something that we absolutely have to continue to keep our eye on. We cannot unilaterally only care ever about what coronavirus is doing. We also, in turn, can't only care about what's going to happen to the economy. This is complicated. We have to think about these things at the same time. And for some reason, when it comes to a lot of these public school situations and these kids not being in the classroom, we can't think of it. We can't walk and chew gum at the same time. We can't think about our kids and the mental health crisis that we are inflicting upon them at the same time that we also consider the safety and the health of, let's face it, mostly the teachers and the staff that are involved, because the kids are going to be fine. Why is it that we aren't willing to do that? And if the answer turns out to be because there's a political poker chip in the middle of the table that somebody's not willing to relinquish, boy, have we failed. Potentially the biggest failure of the whole thing, what we're doing to our kids right now. Real quick before we get to a break, let's get Steve, if Steve's still there with us. Steve, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show.
Thanks for having me, Annie.
Of course.
I just wanted to say I think our schools, everything needs to be opened back up countrywide. I've had the COVID. I've had both of the shots for the vaccine, which made me just as sick as I'd had the COVID. I am 100% COVID exhausted. I'm over it all. Every bit of it, it needs to go away. We need to thrive as a country again.
Yeah.
But the Democrats don't want to waste a good catastrophe.
Well, that is one of their phrases. Steve, thanks for calling the show, and I'm very glad that after getting it that you have been able to fight it and recover from it. That is a good story. Not all the stories are good like that, but so many more stories are good. So many more stories. Like the upper 90 percentiles, those stories turn out to be good. The frustration exists, and like I said, we need to take into account our mental health as a country. We need to take into account our economic health as a country. And we need to do that in conjunction of not saying that, like, we can't declare COVID over. It's not going to happen that way. But we've made huge strides, great medically, just like life-altering strides in the midst of something that was a challenge that we've never faced before. Let's be the grown-ups that we are required to be in this situation and consider everything at once. Not just one lane here, because the other two lanes are going to end up in a catastrophe if we don't, if they haven't already. Quick break. When we come back, more on your Fry Show. Don't go away. Do you guys keep up with the cancel culture stuff that's going on? It was a big conversation this weekend at CPAC, of which I didn't really watch any of it. I felt like, do I have an obligation to know all of the hard-hitting things that took place at CPAC? And I just don't really feel like I do right now. I feel like there's enough information out there right now about what Joe Biden is doing that CPAC is a nerd's nerddom of conservative politics, of which I would love to go sometime and take it in myself. I would be happy to experience CPAC in person. Of course, they go to Orlando this year when I'm 6+ months pregnant and can't weasel my way into that ordeal. I would like it for me, but I don't think it's mainstream at all. Mm-hmm. I don't think, like, if it's like going to like a Comic-Con type of a thing. Mm-hmm. I like the Marvel movies. I think they're cool. I enjoy rewatching the Marvel movies. I have absolutely no interest in going to an event where people are dressing up like these characters, where you can maybe sit and listen to a panel, talk about things. I can't even put into my vernacular the idea of going to a Comic-Con and just basking in its glory. But there are things in my life that I can see that. But I think that's a very personal, internal thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like I would be swinging and missing if my entire show today for you was all the highlights of CPAC. Because if you want that, you already know.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly
it. I think this
it.
Year was a little different, though, just because Trump was speaking. But
he spoke for
the most part.
He spoke for 90 minutes on Sunday. It's a 3-4 day event.
Yeah.
And what he said, he was saying is what everybody expected him to say. What were you saying, Katie?
I feel like the bits and pieces of CPAC that I watched, there was nothing new that was presented to me. There was everything, like Kristi Noem spoke, and then Ron DeSantis spoke, and all these different people that I've been watching for the last year because there's nothing else to do, we're saying the same things that we've heard over and over again. So it didn't really make it. I didn't go to CPAC and watch CPAC to like get amped up again about the Republican Party. I was going to go there to say like, okay, are we speaking about how to unify the party? Are we speaking mm-hmm. about what we're going to do next to try to, you know, have a big win in 2022 and 2024? What are we doing to move in a positive light, because right now there's a lot of crazy stuff that's surrounding the party. Yeah. So what are we doing?
And I think there was a lot of that.
Yeah.
But, to me, it's just the things that they're saying I'm already on board for the majority of what they're discussing. And in order for those things, it's good internal organization. It's good to have. And it's an important thing to have to exist. But I think there are so many people who get tripped up thinking that it's mainstream. It is so not mainstream. As a matter of fact, right now, especially if you're somebody who is not thrilled with the way that the election ended up turning out, if you're somebody who maybe even voted for Joe Biden because you just detest Donald Trump, if you are somebody who is looking at some of the things that are being put through Congress and executive orders that are being signed right now, and you're like pulling your hair out with what's going on, it's very difficult to be so incredibly powerless right now in this moment. I mean, I always correlate things to baseball, but we are in the top of the first inning of the World Series, which is a 7-game series. And right now it's just like, I need to focus on the things that I can do in the context of making this country, I don't know, great again, or what, not dwelling on the things that I can't do. I'm not dwelling on the fact that Donald Trump lost the election. I'm not dwelling on the fact that a lot of people think that he didn't lose the election. You know why? Because there's not a darn thing that I can do about it here. So when you look at a CPAC and you see, especially if you were to just look at the vast array of different kinds of people who are participating in this event, it's a very diverse group of people who they include in these panels and these speakers and everything. That is uplifting to me. But I need to know, how is this going to affect something going forward? And mostly at this point in time, I feel like I just need to know that you have a plan.
Yeah.
I'm not really ready to be put in the ball game. I'm tired from the last one. And, you know, I feel like the biggest, best message right now for the Republican Party is just to stop talking and look at what Joe Biden's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
You just mentioned before about the cancel culture stuff, and that was a big issue that was talked about this weekend at CPAC. But it's funny because all of the more liberal-leaning networks that covered the CPAC topics, if they even did that, were like, here come the Republicans again talking about cancel culture and what's cancel culture and making a big deal about cancel culture. I'm like, it's real. It's real. Do we have people really not believing that cancel culture isn't a thing?
They're just not. They're not afraid of it because it won't come after them, because they're on the opposite side of the aisle, which is why it's so scary if you're on the conservative side of the aisle, or if you're just not publicly and vocally enough on their side of the aisle. That's where the virtue signaling comes in. I hate the virtue signaling. Oh my gosh. If I'm social media friends with you, then that means that I've probably decided that you're a good person enough that I don't mind seeing you in my feed. I don't need you to remind me all the time how great you are or compensate for guilt that you have for something that someone told you have to feel guilty about. That's exhausting. Mm-hmm. It's not sustainable either. You know, like Dr. Seuss was something that came up that apparently, I don't even know why. Why is Dr. Seuss being canceled?
It was something like the tone of the Dr. Seuss books. It was something with like racial intentions. Like they were being, had like racist undertones or something with the book.
It's what we're educating people to do, honestly, is to see everything by race, is to look at everything in the connotation of color, which, if you paid attention to the civil rights movement, was really purposefully designed to take it in the other direction, to be able to see people for who they are and to judge people based on the merits of their character and to not see color first. I mean, Katie had that clip that one time from Jen Psaki. What was she talking about? Somebody asked her a question. She's like, but we have a female, was it education secretary or something like that? Mm-hmm. Like the question that was asked of her was about a real issue, and she pointed out that somebody was a woman. If I am competing for something, if I am being considered for something, if I get it, I want it to be because I deserve it, because I've earned it. I don't want it to be because I'm a female, just like I don't want to not get something because I'm a female. That's not the world I want to raise my kids in. I want them to know that they have a fair shake going into something so that their efforts and their skills and their commitment to whatever the said issue is, the job, the role, whatever it is, that is what determines the outcome for them as much as possible. Not because they're white or not white, not because they're male or female, not because they're young or they're old. What do you have to offer? Because you have a say in that. Everybody has a say in what they have to offer. And we're being told that what they have to offer is potentially not even secondary. It could be more down the line than that, than to what box they would check on some form at a doctor's office defining who they are on paper. That's a tragedy.
This is the report about the Dr. Seuss book. One of the most affluent school districts in Virginia is disassociating itself from Dr. Seuss, claiming the children's book contain racial undertones that are unsuitable for teaching children in a culturally responsible way. The announcement continues to say, as we become more culturally responsive and racially conscious, all building leaders should know that in recent years there has been research revealing radical undertones in the books written and illustrated drawn by Dr. Seuss.
Oh my gosh. Somebody needs to write a Dr. Seuss woke book.
Oh.
That's probably already in play.
That probably exists.
I have a Donald Trump book in here somewhere that's like a children's book, Donald Trump Drains the Swamp. I don't even know where I got it. Maybe I got it from a listener. Maybe I got it from you. But we were going through our books to get rid of some because children's books just get so gross after a while. And I pulled this and I'm like, oh, Donald Trump drains the swamp.
I feel like somebody did give that to you. A listener did. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it. Also, I got this very, very cool from Tom Curtis, this book fold that Katie opened up for me because I haven't been to the station quite yet. And he folds paper in books to make designs on it. And it's this really cool Disney thing. I'm going to take a picture of it. Or Katie, maybe you can take a picture of it.
Sure.
And post it on our show page because it's really, really cool.
It is
Thank
cool.
You. Thank you for sending that. Well, yeah, it's been another day, folks. Stick around. DGS is coming up next. If you missed any part of the show, especially Dr. Hardiman in the 12 o'clock hour, and you want to check that out, you can go to the Annie Fry Show podcast, and you can listen to the whole show. You can listen to specific interviews, whatever you want to pick and choose. It's there for you. Also, Stephen Moore was on with us earlier talking about this massive COVID bill that doesn't have a whole lot to do with COVID. Check that out at the Annie Fry Show podcast on radio.com or wherever you get your podcast from. Thanks for joining us. DGS coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.